glory. We thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. Thank you. Tonight I want to kind of talk about something that's really word of faith, because that's who we are. So the title of the message is All the Promises Are Ours. And if you would, look at 1 Kings 8:56. 1 Kings 8:56. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad you know what you know? 1 Kings 8:56. Praise God. Welcome, internet audience. We're glad you're here. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. That's good, isn't it? There has not failed one word of his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. So not one word has failed. Okay? Now here's 2 Corinthians 1:20. I'll just quote it to you. For all the promises of God in him, meaning in Christ, are yes, and in him, amen. All the promises, all of the promises are yes and amen. All of them. I'm going to say some strong things to you. The Bible is God's word to you. It is his promise to you. It's him talking to you. It's him communicating with you. And a promise is a promise. A promise is a pledge. It's an assurance. God has done and will do what he said he will do. Amen. He will do it. Now, I want to read you Hebrews 6:13 if you want to run over there with me real quick. We're going to go all the way through to 20. But this is important. This is about promises. Hebrews 6:13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. We get that, right? Saying, surely blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, meaning Abraham, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater. Like you'd say, swear on the Bible. When you go to court, I don't know if they do that anymore. They used to make you swear on the Bible that you would not, perjure, get into perjury. Well, yeah, okay. And so, people do crazy things like, it's the pinky finger promise and I swear on my mother's grave and whatever. But God swore by himself because there's no one greater. Yeah. So he is the greatest. So he swore and he took an oath that he would keep his promise to us. Men do it so that there will be an end of all dispute. Thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, promise and oath, in which it is impossible for God to lie. God can't lie. When he speaks, it happens. If he says, this is not Wednesday, this is Thursday, we're going to roll over into Thursday. Because whatever he says happens. He cannot lie. Because anything that comes out of his mouth is creative. Amen. So, by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. The hope we have as an anchor of the soul, but both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil. So you're anchored in to the very throne room. You have a hope. Hope is your anchor into that throne room that God will do what he said he would do. Where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So he is, his present day ministry is administering or being the administrator of what you're saying. Amen. And so your hope is anchored in that he will keep his promise. Are you with me? Okay. is laying a little foundation here. We're anchored. Now, here's the deal. Confession brings possession. Period. Confession brings possession. If you will open your mouth and claim your rights in Christ Jesus, you're going to live the abundant life. Now, here's the question. If the promises are ours, why don't Christians have them and why don't they live in them? We need to answer that question. I'm going to tell you why. Because you have to take them away from the devil. He's trying to stop you. He has a lease on this place and he tries to stop you. They are yours, but he's going to throw up shadows or anything he can to try to get to use your power because he has none of his own. He's a deceiver, but he'll try to use his power, his deception, his lies to use your power to keep your promises away from you. He's the thief. Are you with me? So, I'll just give you an example. John 15:11 says, "These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." Now that's a promise. I want my joy to remain in you and I want your joy to be full. But we all know that the devil's a thief and he's going to go after your joy. That's what he wants, because if he can steal your joy, he can get your goods. We've been taught that, haven't we? Dr. Savelle has taught us that. We've all read the book. Amen. Most of us, if you haven't read it, you should read it. But if he can steal your joy, he can get your promises. He can steal your stuff. Church, that's why complainers get trapped. What do we say? Confession brings possession. So when you lose your joy and you start mouthing, and you start saying, or I don't know why, or it never happens to me, or blah, 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 then the devil is keeping your joy and keeping your stuff.
Yes. Yeah, that's good. It's true.
They get trapped. They don't have any joy. See, joy is a force. It's a supply of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. That's what's going to give you strength. What does the Bible say? The joy of the Lord is what? It's our strength. My point is the thief is going to try to hold your stuff up. He's going to try to steal it. It belongs to you. He's the one that tries to steal your health. He's the one that tries to steal your joy. He's the one that tries to steal whatever it is. The promises, period. He's trying to do that. And a lot of times I think we might forget about him. So that's why I wanted to bring it up tonight. Matthew 21:22 said, "Whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Who said that? Was that Brother Hagin? Was that Kenneth Copeland? Was that Pastor Roxanne? No, that was Jesus. Yeah. Jesus said this. This is red letters and red words rule. So this little verse right here, I'll read it to you again. "And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." And this little verse here destroys most church doctrine. So does God really mean that we can have everything we ask for? Does he mean that in prayer? But you know, I know somebody who believed and they didn't get it. There's no such thing. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good, but I'm telling you the truth right now. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as believing for something and not receiving from God. No such thing. Yeah, but No, back up. Back up. Because you're going to either tell me you believe the Bible or you believe some doctrine. Walk with me. I'll help you with it. There's no such thing. If you're really believing, you will receive. There never was that doctrine, that plan, not in the Word. It's not, well, you know, God decided that I couldn't have that promise. No, he didn't. I'm the one in the earth. I'll have to suffer through this sickness. No, no, that's not in here. That's absolutely not in here. I'll help you with this, though, as we go. You'll see it. Now, you fill along with everyone else who fails to receive. Now, let me say it like this. If you believe it's possible to believe and not receive, then you've just joined up with everybody else. I'll say it backwards. You fooled around with everybody who picked up these doctrines. I was taught them. Some of you all were taught them. You were taught these doctrines that God puts stuff on you, that God does all these things, that he uses sickness as the teacher of the church, that he uses the word no as a teacher of the church. But that's not in the Bible. It's not about Job or Paul's thorn or Timothy's stomach. You just fooled along with other people if you believe that. People say, well, we prayed, we believed, and the Lord didn't do it. No, no, no. You may have prayed. And you may have thought you prayed. But did you believe? I'm just helping you. I'm just helping you. No human being in creation has ever believed God for something and didn't get it. Well, no, stay with me. I know some of y'all are going, well, I know I believed it. No. But you will from now on. And you're going to get it. Come on. Take that religious thing and throw it down. Throw it down and look at the Word. Well, you're just making me mad. Well, good. And then you'll get in these scriptures and look at them yourself and find out what they really say. Listen, you can't judge God. And you can't judge the Word by what happened to someone else.
That is right.
I've experienced this top level. Yep. I watched my very own pastor die, who is a Word and faith preacher. And the last thing he said was, this was between me and Jesus. Do not judge the Word over this.
Amen.
In other words, it was on him, he said.
Yeah.
He took the blame for it.
That's right.
I'm just going to have to believe the Word over that doctrine. I'm going to have to believe the Word over, well, I believed and I didn't get it. I'm going to have to. Do you see how I'm helping you? Can you see through what I'm doing? If you want to be healed, the Lord has healing power. Mm-hmm. That's one of his promises. It's actually a fact. Mm-hmm. But this is how it works, church. The Lord wants to keep healing power surging through your body by what you say.
Right. Yes.
So see, you begin a thing. Do you remember what the scripture says? It said you believe, you receive, but there was something after that. Now we're going to get to it here. And do not doubt in your heart. See, you could have started out on the right trail. You can come up here, get hands laid on you, the power of God's going to surge through you. And then if you walk out the door and you're still limping, you have a choice. Lord, thank you that the healing power is still flowing through me. Thank you, Lord, that I am healed. Thank you, Lord, that you're my healer. Or you can say, well, I guess I didn't get it. I guess he didn't want to heal me. But you'll be calling God a liar.
Right. That's good.
I think heaven likes this.
Yeah.
So what should you say if you've been praying to be healed? What would you want to say? You should say what I just said. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me. Yeah. I just want to confess that you're my personal healer.
Yeah.
I just want to confess to you that healing is surging through my body right now. See, don't stop and go back in doubt.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, doubt is quitting believing. Yes. Now you see where I'm going. Amen. Amen. Thank you for healing my body. Power is flowing throughout my body. The key is to continue to say something. That's the key. Continue. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My bills are paid. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that my bills are paid. Lord, I'm coming to you and I'm asking you that I have some extra bills. I'm quoting. I'm not praying this for myself, but I have some extra bills and I'm thanking you for the finances. I believe I receive them. I have sowed seed here and there and here and there. I believe I receive extra finances. Okay. So you received it. Then what? Where? Thank you for it. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you. I know I have it. I know I have it. I know I have the job. I know I have the promotion. I know I have my healing. I know I have whatever God has promised us. I have it. But you continue to thank God and you stay in faith. Now you see why if you do this, there's no failure. But this is what people fail to do. So then they blame God that it wasn't God. God didn't want to do it for them. When actually they stopped and they doubted. What does the Bible say about someone who doubts? Unstable in all their ways. It's like holding your hand out and putting it back. And holding your hand out and putting it back. They're unstable. God's not being mean and saying, I'm not going to give it to you if you act like that. That's not always, he's trying to hand it to you, but you keep moving back. Your hand in this is your mouth.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Continue to speak into existence what you want. Let me say it like this. You're speaking it into the natural. It already belongs to you. But the way this thing is set up is you've got to get it from that realm to this realm. You're going to have to say it. That's your job. I've been preaching this to you for 20 years and I'm going to continue to do it because I need it. I can't tell you that just the times over 30 years, I've known this for 30 years. I've practiced this for 30 years and sometimes I still hear myself praying I'm going to just say it like this, a stupid prayer. So this is helping me.
Amen.
Jesus has already healed you. Amen. You just got to receive it. You have to talk like, you must talk like he's your healer. Personal. It's personal. He's your provider. Lord, you're my healer. You're my provider. You're my deliverer. You are everything. Now listen to this. A prayer that says, I'm trying to believe in a way that I can get God to make up his mind to have mercy. Did you hear that? I'm trying to believe that I can pray to God to make up his mind that he would have mercy. He doesn't have to make up his mind. He made it up before you were even born. That he would love you. That he would chase after you, that he would deliver you, that he would be your God if you would let him. He doesn't have to make up his mind about that. And did you know that I probably less than a week ago prayed something like that? I probably prayed, Lord, please have mercy on us and let it rain. That's dumb. I know better than that. But you start getting frustrated when you don't see something. But we're going to change that. We're going to remind ourselves how to stand and how to stay in the right place. Pain will cause you to want to drift off. This heat has caused you to want to drift off. Not seeing all the results you want to see in America kind of makes you want to drift off. But it's still the same story, church. It's still the same thing. Our God reigns. And he has given us authority. And he's told us how to get what we need. And it's the same formula. It's the same plan every day. We've been hearing it for years. We heard it when we were together years ago. And we're still hearing it now. And it still works. And every time I've ever used this, it works.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
For real. It's right. He sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Now think that through. God gave us scripture word. When Jesus said, have faith in God, he was saying, have faith in the word. Have faith in these promises. Have the faith of God, because God created the promises, and have faith in God, because these promises, yes, I'll back them up. I'll be there. I told you I'd be there. I'll be there. And then there's this. Well, let me ask you this. Is the Bible written for everyone? I just thought about that. You believe that, don't you? So you can take a scripture then and personalize it. Matthew 11:23 is very familiar to you. Mark 11:23, excuse me. For assuredly I say to you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, believes those things that he says. Is that right? He will have whatever he says, right? Now do a quick checkup. Difference in the world. Now do a quick checkup. Have you been doing it? Now I'm going to say some things to you. They're a little hot because he died and you're telling me scripture away from living. Yes. You're one scripture away from your prosperity. You're one scripture away from divine health. One word from God can change your whole eternity. It can change your life. You're one scripture away. It's what you do with that scripture. It's what you do with it. That's the problem. People want to read it or just hear it in the atmosphere and then not eat it, not do anything with it. But see, and finally he got through to her and she says, well, you're right. He never quoted a scripture about healing. Man, if you've got something, you need to be doing more than quoting a scripture. You need to be feeding it night and day, quote, thank you, Lord, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord. By your stripes, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, you were wounded for my transgressions. Da, 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 da. You should be going through all those scriptures. You should be doing them every day. Should be like Dodie Osteen. She took her medicine 3 times a day and liver cancer left her body. And she put out a book about it. One verse away from healing, health, victories, riches, blessings, and promotion. Amen. One away. Well, so Pastor, you're telling us that if we just say one verse over and over, we will be healed. Well, not exactly. Let me just walk you through that. Something maybe you need to be reminded of. It's the word meditation. When we confess, we're not parroting. By his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. No, you're saying it. Your inner man is hearing it. And faith cometh by hearing it. So I'm preaching it to you. Yeah, faith is rising up. But then when you do it, and you take that verse, and you eat it, and you think about it, and you make it personal, faith will rise up. When we confess, so we're not parroting, we're driving the word into our spirit. Yes. And it becomes a working word. It's a working word, and a working word will not return void. It'll work. It'll start working. Remember the story I told you about Brother Copeland and Aunt Eileen? And Mama was all upset. Mama said, Kenneth, we got to go. And he would not let the devil get him rattled. Remember that? Said, no, you're not rattling me. Changed his shirt, ate his eggs, went down there. Aunt Eileen's already dead. All the way down, though, he's saying, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And the word started working in him. And he went over there and he touched Aunt Eileen. And Aunt Eileen said, why, Kenneth, what are you doing here? They were already calling that. They were writing out the death certificate. but greater. Don't let the devil see you flinch. Those of you, some of you may have taken martial arts. You don't let your opponent see you flinch. Amen. Remember what Creflo used to say? I'm working on something. I'm working on something. He'd talk about it. He'd be quoting where he said, I'm working on something. I get in there and I'll work on something. He got a cancer report. And it was, y'all know the story. It was bad. They weren't giving him long. He went home, locked himself up, and started working on the word, 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 working on something, working on the word. Went back, took the test, no cancer, and they were looking inside his body on the screen, and they could see the face of a man with a beard on the inside of him. And they were like, what's that?
Glory to God.
There's witnesses about it. And he was healed. He was working on something. The greater one. The greater one did it. The greater one removed that. The working word was in there. Became flesh. That's right. One verse can change your life, save your home, save your family. Could do whatever you needed to do. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now that is exactly where we started here. That it, God would do what he said. It's the word that's abiding. You're in him. The word that's abiding in you. Not, well, I guess I didn't get it. Well, I guess I didn't get it. Sometimes, church, you have to just keep going, no, I have this, no. Praise God. Let me just touch on two more things quickly and we'll finish up here. We talked about something being removed. I just want to include this in here. Matthew 21:19 says, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves and said, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately the fig tree withered away. Remember that? And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also to this mountain, be removed, be cast to the sea. Okay? So whatever things you ask in prayer, believing you receive. The fig tree got cursed at the root. Might want to try that sometime. Curse it at the root. Make those tentacles let go. Because all of the thoughts build strongholds. And all of those strongholds build a tree in your mind. And they hang on to you. I think this is going to kill me. I think I'm going to die. I think I'm going to be broke. I think I'm not going to make it. I think everybody hates me. I think whatever it is, I'm unhappy. That is all a lie of the enemy with tentacles coming in. You want to get rid of that thing and get it out by the roots. No root, no fruit. Just thought I'd throw that in for you. Because roots hold things down. And then let me mention this to you. This is James 4:2. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war. Yet ye have not because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume upon your own lust. So, you have not because you ask not. So asking is obviously the thing to do. Asking, declaring, those things. That's the thing to do. It's all a mouth thing. Everything And then it says, you receive not because you ask amiss. So now here's where we're going to get into, I believed, but God didn't do it, okay? Here's where this is going to clear up for you. You were asking the wrong thing. You asked amiss. You weren't asking right, or you were asking for the wrong thing. You see what I'm saying? That's when you, if you're believing, you want to be believing in something that you're sure God wants you to have. So this is where people get off the track. That's why now that helps you in maybe the harshness of it will happen if you believe. Sometimes it won't happen because A, you're not believing, or B, you're believing for the wrong thing. I believe God wants me to marry Brad Pitt. And he'll get saved. I know it's God. Is that got the right guy? It's the blonde guy? Yeah, okay. So I don't even know who they are. Now, I mean, have some sense here. First of all, you don't want to be unequally yoked with anybody. And ladies, don't get that big dream of you're going to change them. Our men either. You're not going to change them. God changes people.
Yeah.
But that's silly stuff, you know. Yeah. Well, I'm just believing that, you know, I really think that President Trump's going to ask me to be the vice president. Now, there's somebody thinking that it's God's will.
Yeah.
But it's not God's will for me. Did y'all see Flashpoint last night? It was so cute. There was a sweet pastor on there, and he got invited when President Trump was going to run for office. He got invited to the Trump Tower. And so he goes into the Trump Tower, and he's like, Brother Copeland's standing there. And he's all enthralled with Brother Copeland. He didn't even pay any attention to Mr. Trump. He just saw Brother Copeland. It was so cute. I just had to laugh about it. Gene Bailey's going, yeah, we're used to that. It was just so cute. Anyway, back to what we're talking about real quick here. So it's what you ask for. What do you, you know, we need to pray about what we ask for.
Yeah.
Am I supposed to marry him? Am I supposed to take that job? Am I supposed to buy that land? Am I supposed to live in this house? Am I supposed to, I've heard God say to me before, you're not ready for that. You're not dreaming that big. Don't go after that. You can't do that. But if you can't hear that, then you're like, well, but we're supposed to dream big. Yes, you are. But sometimes you'll take steps to get there. And I'm going to say something very important to you that I learned. Sometimes people, they miss the curve. When Brother Copeland found out he had heart trouble, he said, well, I'll get right on my faith, Lord, on that. And the Lord said, no, you're behind on the curve. I want you to go get a pacemaker. The Lord told him that. And then start using your faith. See? So he went and he got the pacemaker. And then, so it's helping watch after him. And then he starts working out and doing what he needs to do and believing God and being on the word and everything. That pacemaker's been turned off for a long time. Mm-hmm. But sometimes if you get behind on the curve, you need to get the help you need to get. And I'm going to tell you this too. Sometimes people run out of time before they get their faith to where they need to be. And that's why we see people pass on, because they weren't doing anything before they were diagnosed. And so then they're going to run and try to lift the barbells and get strong. Remember the old story? The guy laying on the couch smoking a cigar and drinking a six-pack of beer. And the devil breaks into his house. Y'all remember that story? This is an old Word of Faith story. Devil breaks into the house and he's laying on the couch. And the devil says, I'm coming for your kids and your wife and everything you got. And he's moving through the house. And so the guy jumps up and starts lifting weights to try to... Well, how many of y'all know he's behind the curve?
Yeah.
It's too late. But you can start.
Yes.
And it would be better if you already worked out now.
Amen.
If you are behind, believe you receive mercy. And get going on it. And get your words going. And eat some word. And get on the path. And learn what to ask and what not to ask for. And you'll make it.
Yes.
You'll make it. One other thing you need to understand is that everybody has a will. And you could pray and pray and pray over somebody and they're not going to be raised from the dead. You could pray and pray and pray over someone with all the faith that you have. And if they themselves are not going to do anything, they're going on to glory. Sometimes the gifts of the Spirit will kick in places and things will happen. But I don't think we ought to count on that. We are people who are responsible for our faith. I mean, you could go into some place and by a miracle, God would raise people from the dead. I'm all about that. I have faith for that. But I'm telling you, you don't want to leave that to chance. Don't leave that to chance. You want to be able to just go and have what you need on the inside of you, the word working for you so that when you go in there, you have it. Or if you were the one laying in the bed, you have what it takes to get up. You've got to do something. So don't be disappointed if not everybody answers the call. They have their own will. But what we can do is we can bind the spirits, send Holy Ghost laborers across their path, hold them to the light, so to speak. We pray the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened. That word will not return void. God will go after them, but it'll still be their choice. And a lot of them will come in. A lot of them will come in. So when you're praying for other people, you have to understand they have a will. When you're praying about yourself, you have to be sure and ask God so you won't ask amiss. Find out what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. Now, He always wants you healed. He always wants you prosperous. He always wants you delivered. He always wants you peaceful. He always wants you to have everything you need. Those are a given. But when it comes to what you're going to do, I think I heard somebody say, maybe it was Pastor Nancy today I was listening to, or Mac Hammond, one of those I was listening to. They said, God wants you to have these things, but you're going to have to consult the Holy Spirit to find out which one.
Yeah. Come
on.
Amen.
Well, that's good. That's
good. All right. Y'all received this today?
Yeah.
So, you know, as we're closing here, we're called name it, claim it people. Did y'all know that? Well, I just want to tell y'all I would be proud to be the president of the Name It, Claim It Club. Because we named it, we claimed it, we blabbed it, we grabbed it, we got it. And that's kind of faded away now because a lot of the church actually believes the truth about their mouth now. I mean, the denominations may not, but the charismatics do. Most of them do now understand and believe that your words matter. There's a few that don't, but most of them do. But I'm just going to tell you that we can prove scripturally, and I'm not going to take a whole lot of time to preach about this, but we can prove scripturally that if you don't name it, you can't claim it, and you're not going to have it.
Amen.
You're going to have to name it. You're going to have to name it healing. You're going to have to name it prosperity. You're going to have to name it deliverance. You're going to have to name it favor. You're going to have to say what you want.
Yes.
You do to people, why not to God?
Okay.
What do you do when you go to Dairy Queen? I don't know, give me. No, Deb goes right up there and says, give me a chocolate velvet blizzard with a, no, whatever that is you like.
French silk,
yeah. You know what you want when you get there. I know what kind of coffee I want. It's the longest name there is, but Amen. I want a grande, double blended mocha frappuccino with extra whip.
Right.
That's what I want. Everybody's going, oh! It's a kiddie drink. You know what you want. Find out if God wants it. And then don't consult flesh and blood. Don't go to the dream thieves. You may want to ask your leader or your boss or whatever, whoever, or your wife especially, if that seems right to you, your husband, if that seems, you know, does this seem right to you, dear? Because I'm thinking this is, you know, you get together on those things. On a missionary trip, you might want to consult me so I can help you pray and then support you. Some people just go on their own, but I can't help that. But you know, you might want to ask somebody what they think about it. Sometimes leaders are right about those things, you know. Just saying. It's always good to have that, and it's good to have the Holy Spirit tell you. And then listen, the people that call us that, that's their excuse for their failing lives.
Yeah, it is.
My life isn't failing.
Oh, no.
What I do doesn't fail.
Nope.
It hasn't for a long time. Have I made mistakes? Oh, yeah. Have I said the wrong? Yeah, just as many as you. But the truth is we're not failing.
Amen.
We're not failing. We're moving forward.
Amen.
You're strong in the Lord.
Yeah.
The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Right.
You're consulting the Lord. Now just start agreeing with him after you receive it. And don't back down or forget about it. If you're really, really serious about something, you'll stay with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a problem we have. We'll just let it go and live daily.
Yeah.
We'll just start living daily and not think about that dream enough. But if you're really after something,
yeah.
I used to have a friend named Mike, and whatever he did in life, he went full force at it, and everybody had to be involved in it. He took up bowling one time, and we all had to go bowling every week with him. And then he opened this company, and we all had to work with him in the company. And whatever Mike did, he rallied all of us, and we all had to do it.
Yeah.
We ought to be like that about our dreams. I'm going to keep looking. I'm going to keep searching. I'm going to find that church property. We're going to build a church on it. We're going to build people. We're going to change people's lives. We're not changing the vision. We're going to go from milk to meat. We'll let everybody else, we'll help get people saved and filled with the Holy Spirit too. But we're not going to weaken it. We're going to do what God called us to do. We're going to move in what God called us to do. And it's stuff like this. Believing we receive so that we can have the influence we need to have to help people in this world. And see, you don't hear all the stories I hear. There are new people who've been coming in here on Sundays and they are having huge victories. I was just informed twice today about the same person whose life has totally turned around and they've only been here for 4 weeks.
Wow.
About 4 to 5 weeks.
Yeah, that's good.
They can hear the truth, but then just decided to do it. Oh, I just heard someone's thought. Well, it didn't happen for me that fast. Let me try it to page one. All right, let's do this and we'll close. You can just use so many truths on so many levels. It's amazing. Any mountain outside of the abundant life of Jesus needs to go.
That's good.
Any mountain that's sickness, disease, lack, fear, worry, not know. What about confusion?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
You can tell confusion to go.
Right.
The Bible says, the Apostle Paul said they were doing something and he says, but I'm not. He would say something to this effect. We're this, but we're not this. We're this, but we're not this. We're not perplexed, or some word like that. See, you don't have to be confused. You don't have to be confused. So if we were going to apply everything we talked about today and we were going to make a verse personal, let's take something real simple that almost everyone here can quote. My God. Now see there, now what's the address? Philippians 4:19. Now, let's pretend that you're in your car on the way home or going to work tomorrow. This is what you're going to do, and do this with any scripture. My God, my God, not just Paul's God, Not just Pastor Rox's God. Not just Kenneth Copeland's God. My God. Oh, yeah. Not my job. My God. See, I'm making it personal. I'm preaching to myself. No, not my job. My God shall. That means it's going to happen. Hey, you, it will happen. He said it shall. It shall. And I know by looking up into the context that this is for the giver. It's not for every Christian. It's for the giver, according to the context. So I'm a giver. So my God, that's not my job, but my God shall supply. He is the supplier. He will supply. He's going to supply what I need. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to supply what I need. You've already supplied what I need, and I'm going to receive what I need. According. Oh, man, not according to my paycheck. Not according to what's going on in America. Not according to the gas prices. Not according to the house prices. Not according to what I think I can make this week. According to His riches. I'm going to tap into your riches, God. I'm tapping into your riches, not my own. My God has riches, and it's according to His riches. And where are they? They're in the heavenly realm. They're in glory. So all I got to do is tap into those riches, and I'm on my way. Now, how long did it take us to do that? My watch died. Lord, thank you for a new watch. How long did it take us to do that just then? Less than 2 minutes? And it got personal. And when we did it, we went, whew. We did that on the inside. Capacity came. Capacity came. So, well, you know, this morning, I think I'll just read my chapters. I'm going to read my chapters. Just go in there and find one.
Yes.
Go in there. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn. Now, I could just take off on that right there. But I'm not a preacher like you. I don't get excited like you. You will if you eat enough of this.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it because I'm a preacher. This is the way I've always acted. You put this in here and it's going to come out. It's going to be the working word, church. It's going to do it. This is your job.
Yes, ma'am.
And then take a spin and go out and see what you can find. You will hear the Lord say, why don't you go over there and talk to that person? Mm-hmm. Why don't you talk to Mr. Lang and see what he's got? Well, I got to build it. But I want this much for it. Oh, well, no. Well, never mind. Let's just see what you want to pay for it. Work a deal. How can we work a deal? Well, I need to rent this house on the boat. It's got a boat and a sea-doo on the lake out here. Well, it's going to be this much a month. Well, I can't pay that much. Well, how much do you want to pay? This much? Okay. Happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
Can happen to you. Can happen to you.
Because you said it.
Because I said it. You don't have to feel ashamed or that you're being prideful. I got right in my daddy's face when I was a little kid. You know, you'd pull his face to you. Daddy, I want some Big Red. Okay. Daddy, we want to go early over to Mamaw's. Mamma, my grandmother. Daddy, and he's right there. Now, this daddy will do it all.
Yes.
And he's not saying no.
Amen.
You are his love.
Yes.
You are his pearl. You are the one he's been chasing after.
Yes.
You are the one. You are. He loves you. Well, I don't even do anything. You're his everything. You're his son. You're his daughter. And he's not confused about those two genders.
No, no, he's not.
That's right. He's not confused. And you don't have to be.
No.
And you have to go, well, we thought we were going to do this, but now we think we're going to do this. Well, we might do this. That's just too much stuff. Just do this. Never mind. Let's start over. I can't tell you how many times I've started over. I've just started over because I put too much on there, got too much going, and then it was like, well, now I really don't know what to do. Just start over. Okay, Lord, what are we going to do? It's like I told you on the property. Lord, what do you see? Nothing. I'm like, okay. I'm so glad he's like that. And he's just so simple. Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do. What do you want me to do? Well, put me on your schedule. That means slow down and spend time with me. Amen. Father, we thank you for the internet audience. We thank you, Lord, that they can have what they say.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for blessing their lives.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, that they are healed. They are prosperous. There's no lack. Mm-hmm. They never will decrease as long as they stay in you and believe you.
Yes.
And believe they receive your promises. Father, we thank you that any pain that they're experiencing right now, that they are healed from
yes.
the top of their head to the soles of their feet.
Yeah.
We thank you, Lord, for the divine plan for their life in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And Father, anyone who's gotten off and they don't know where they're going, you are just their GPS. You get them right back on.
Yes.
You show them the right plan. I know you want to, and I know you'll do it. And I know they'll receive it in Jesus' name.